What's up, everyone? Happy Monday. I pray you all have had an amazing 2 weeks. I'm sure you can all hear me, but my voice is pretty much shot now. It's a mix of the weather and allergies and all this stuff going on. Pray for me, y'all. But I'm excited because we are officially in a new month and a new quarter. And you know, while we can get so caught up with this year flying by and making sure we're meeting all of our goals and meeting every single deadline that we have, I really want us to take a step back and make sure that what we're doing is in alignment with God and what He's called us to do. And that brings us to today's topic, which is going to be on the importance of obedience. Now, it's so easy for us to be consumed with grinding and executing and, you know, achieving all of those goals that we wrote down at the beginning of the year. But are we really sure, are we certain that the very things that we are doing or that we've been doing align with God's instruction? Are we obeying God in our actions? And before we can even answer that, I think it's important to touch on what obedience actually is. You know, what does it mean to obey? Well, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, obedience is compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. And I'll read that again. Obedience is compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. So when trying to understand this, think about a parent and a child. You know, as children, we are meant to follow the orders of our moms and our dads. So if they were to say, "Hey, Tiara, you need to be home by 10 o'clock." That means regardless of what I want to do, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to make the decision to comply and have my booty home at 10 p.m. because one, they said so. And two, because I trust, and of course this goes for, you know, good parents, I trust that they know and want what's best for me. Well, you know, the same exact thing goes for God. As His children, we are to obey His every instruction, whatever, you know, that instruction, order, or commandment is. And so, again, that means regardless of what we want to do, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what we think is right or wrong, we have to choose to put our opinions to the side and submit to God, to God's will, because one, He said what He said. You know, He's our sovereign God, and that's just what it is. And two, because we trust and know that because He is our God, because He is our dad, He would never give us an instruction that won't be for our benefit. And that makes me think of Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future." There is nothing that God would ever do or ever tell us to do that would be for our demise. Everything that He says is literally for our good. It's meant to prosper us. It's meant to excel us. It's meant so that we will succeed in the very thing He's called us to on this earth. And so that's what I really want us to focus on, you know, as we're carrying out these next few months and as we've embarked on a new quarter. I really want us to obey God and make sure that that is in habit. And so, you know, what does that actually look like? You know, what does obedience, you know, look like? And so something that I've adopted has been something called daily acts of obedience. And simply what that is asking God, AL, big dog, and however you want to talk to God, that's how me and God talk. God, Lord, big dog, what is it that you want me to do today? I think we can get so caught up in, you know, the long-term vision, and we have all these million, trillion different ideas, but what is God telling you to do right now? And whatever it is He says, that is the thing that we should be honing on, especially within that day. And, you know, just as important it is to do what He's called us to do, it's just as important to make sure that we're not doing the things that He told us not to do. For instance, let's say you're approached with a business opportunity where the offer on the table, the money on the table is $1 million, and you feel it in your spirit. You know, like, you know, you shouldn't take it. Don't take it. Please don't do it. You know, just as much, you know, there are blessings associated with obedience, there are also consequences. And we have to remind ourselves that, you know, When God tells us no, it is literally for our good and our protection. And I'm thinking of like a scenario. Let's say you end up taking that business opportunity and you know God said no. And a month later, the person who you went into business with is now in jail for fraud or an embezzlement. And so now they're looking at you because you're, you know, one of their partners. Now all your money is frozen. Your accounts are frozen. Now they're looking at you as a potential suspect. All of that literally could have been avoided if you had just submitted to God and listened and said, you know what? You told me not to do it. I'm not going to do it. And listen, I have definitely been on the receiving end of disobeying God and experiencing, you know, the consequences for it. So trust me, whatever God is saying, don't do, please don't do it. And you know, I'm even thinking about, let's take a different approach, right? Like we talk about the consequences directly placed on us. Think about the consequences that affect different people. Let's say when it comes to purpose and God tells us to do something, whether it's, you know, launching a nonprofit for homeless or writing a book on the importance of mental health, and we choose not to do it, we selfishly choose not to do it because that's essentially what it is. Think about the people who now have to suffer because literally their breakthrough is associated with what it is that you're meant to release. Think about that homeless person who now has to live on the street for another year or however long because you decided that, you know what, I don't want to do this. I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't understand it. I'm lazy, whatever. Now they have to live on the street. Or that person who's suffering from mental health, now they got to, you know, suffer for however long they're going to suffer because you chose to not write the book. Yeah, obedience is literally not just about you. It's literally about those who you're meant to impact. So stop being selfish. And I'm saying that to y'all, but I'm also saying that to myself. We got to stop being selfish. We have to put our own, you know, opinions and feelings to the side. We have to stop being lazy and really do what it is that God's instructing us to do because people need what it is that we have. People need what God is telling us to release. Now that we understand what obedience is, what it looks like, what's next? What do we need to do now? So my action item for you this week is to look at your goals, your to-do lists, anything that you've been, you know, executing on a daily or weekly basis, anything that you've been working towards, and spend some time in prayer asking God, does this align with your will? And what is prayer? Prayer is essentially it's a conversation between you and God. It's you praying and you stopping. So wait, Lord, what is it that you're saying back? And I think I touched on that last episode. So Lord, what is it that I should be doing? And for those who don't have your lists or your goals outlined, simply ask God, what is it that I need to be doing right now? And this is something that should really be carried out daily. Remember, daily acts of obedience. We should make it a priority and a goal to ensure that we are obeying God with our actions every single day. But that first starts with asking him, what is it that you want me to do in this moment? Now, I don't want us to get to a place where, you know, we ask God and he tells us what he wants us to do and then we choose not to do it. And then time progresses. And now we're 6 months later, we're like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. God, what is it you need from me? Well, baby, what was the last thing he done said? What was the last thing he told you to do? And I'm sure there are people on here who already know what it is that they need to do. They probably don't even need to spend time in prayer because they already know like, oh, dang, God definitely told me to, you know, write that book 3 months ago and I still haven't done it. Well, baby girl, whatever. I'm sure that's what you're supposed to be doing right now. This is literally the time to obey and execute. And so that is my charge for you. Seek God's instruction, wait for him to release. And regardless of how you feel, what you think, you have to trust that God knows all, right? Like you have to trust that everything that he says is literally meant for my good. And so I'm going to choose to obey regardless of what it is that I think. And that makes me think of the scripture. It's Proverbs 3:5, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. I think this is verse 6. In all ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And the reason, you know, the Bible says this is because he literally sees what we can't see. He is the sovereign God. He sits high above heaven. He knows the end from the beginning. And so every single thing, while we may be thinking about, you know, what this looks like right now, God sees 6 months from now. He sees 5 years from now. He knows what him telling you or what you doing, what he's telling you to do right now, how it's going to affect that person that it's meant to touch 5 years from now. And so don't hone in or focus on, you know, not having a certain amount of resources or not having the time or not doing this. Trust that God, if God gave you an instruction for it, if he gave you a vision for it, he will make provision for you to do it. That's period. And the last thing I want to make sure I mention, there's Deuteronomy 28. And I really want us to plaster all of these, or plaster the scripture, the entire chapter, to be honest, on our walls, because what Deuteronomy 28 highlights is the blessings that are associated with obedience. And while it's, you know, it's pretty lengthy, so I'm only gonna touch on a few, but I really want us to just constantly think about the benefits that actually come with obedience. And so Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and your flocks will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. And I just stopped, what is that, at verse 6. It goes on extending throughout the whole chapter. So I really want y'all to read it and continuously, you know, meditate on that scripture, because know that your obedience will never be in vain. God honors, God blesses those who follow his instructions. And now before I end, I want to share a conversation that I had last year with my good sis, Lisa K. Satchel, who is an author, motivator, and honestly, just an amazing human being. And in this conversation, we talked about why obedience is worth it. And so take a listen and be blessed.
So can you kind of touch on how consistency and how obedience really, while it's for you, it's really not for you. It's really for others. So can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, I think the good example for this is like with the book. It's like, I was writing this book because God told me to, but as I finished writing it, I was like, wow, I really hope somebody gets something out of this. And then people have said, even just from like the videos I posted with little tidbits about it, or like people are already telling me that they're getting a lot out of it. I'm just like, God, this literally wasn't even about me. Right. Like, you have people who you want to show how to love themselves. Mm-hmm. You want to show them what a godly relationship will look like. And honestly, sometimes I have to read the book, because I be out here like, where my man at?
Where and is like, they? Where is husband? Still asking questions.
Right. And then there are things in there that I am still learning. So I know that I didn't write that book just for me to write a book and say, oh, I read a book. Like, you know what I mean? It was really like, God needs people and me to learn these lessons so that we can be, I mean, just all that he's called us to be.
You want to know what's crazy is, and I immediately thought of, as you were talking, I was saying how obedience is really not about you. I immediately thought of the scripture of Jonah, or the story of Jonah and the great fish, mm-hmm. right? And here's Tears Cliff Notes version. God told Jonah, who is a character in the Bible, to go to Nineveh and tell the people that he was going to announce judgment against the city because of their wickedness. Jonah was like, hell nah, cuz I'm not doing this. And he ended up getting on a boat and going in the opposite direction of Nineveh. So then God was like, oh, so you want to act crazy? Cool. We about to see, you know, how far this craziness gets you. Fast forward, God causes a storm to occur while Jonah is in the ship, and everyone on the boat, the driver, I don't know how you say it, but like everyone on the boat is in a panic. So everyone's praying to, you know, their specific gods. And because Jonah knew that all this chaos, this storm had happened because of his disobedience, he told the people to throw him overboard and the storm will stop, because he knew that this is God saying, you know what, I'm going to cause so much chaos and disruption in your life until you do what it is that you're supposed to do. And so they throw him overboard, and because of God's loving kindness, his grace, his mercy, he's amazing. Instead of allowing Jonah to just die or drown or whatever may have you, he allows this great fish, some people reference it as a whale, to come and swallow Jonah, swallow him up, and he's in the belly of this great fish for 3 days. So this is what I, you know, my favorite part of the story. So while he's in the belly, he ends up praying to God and asks for forgiveness and really thanks him for showing him mercy. And as a result, God gives Jonah another chance. And after this, after God gives him another chance, Jonah then moves forward with going to Nineveh and really telling the people that God's judgment is coming. And after, you know, that whole altercation or interaction happened, the people ended up turning from their ways and Jonah really spared their lives. So God ended up not causing judgment to happen to them. And so if Jonah would have never done that, the people would have died. The people would have been destroyed. And then I'm just thinking about, you know, how many people are really like sitting here waiting for it or suffering, waiting for you to really walk in purpose, waiting for you to really follow through with that obedience. And so the question that I'll pose to you, or I really just pose to the audience rather, is like, do we ever think about how many chances God has given us? And, you know, we still choose to disobey, like, not even like he's given us a chance. And, you know, after that one chance, yes, Lord, I'm gonna do it. But nah, he's given us chance after chance and still we want to act crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, first of all, this podcast alone, God told me to do this podcast and it's crazy that this is here. God told me to do actually Unwind Wednesday in 2018. I didn't do Unwind Wednesday until 2020. And I try to do so many other things. And you know, like when you're when you feel like you're walking in obedience and you're like, well, this thing that I'm doing, even though it's not that, like I'm still in God's will, or I'm still doing works for God. And God's like, well, girl, I didn't tell you to do that yet, but you still want to act crazy. And so a lot of the things that I started failed. And it wasn't until I was like, you know what, let me just go ahead and really start honing in on the things that God told me to do, i.e. the Unwind Wednesday podcast, which really led to this podcast. And I just started seeing so many different things similar to what you were saying. People were reaching out like, you know, this is very helpful. I needed this, like, Tier, you don't understand like what this has done for my life. So girl,
yeah.
Obedience.
Yeah. If I could piggyback on what you said,
yeah,
I love what you said about like, basically like there are times where you're being obedient, but you want to be like extra obedient. Like, oh, God said, do this. No. I'm going to go the extra mile. And God's like, oh, wait, hold up. I didn't tell you to do all that. Mm-hmm. So then like for me right now, like I'm in a season where like I have moved across the country. The book is out and I like want to keep going, you know? God was like, your March is your month to rest. I said, heard you, but I also got to do all this other stuff. Mm. Like, no rest. So when I tell you, I've been home 2 weeks for those 2 weeks, my back was hurting. It got so extreme that I had to go like urgent care. I couldn't.
Hey, I know. So sorry.
It was because I was being disobedient. Mm. Like I was trying to do so much. I wasn't sleeping enough. I was trying to move a bunch. Like I was like doing too much. You know what I mean? And so rest was my thing to be obedient to. And it didn't seem like that lined up with what I was trying to do. So I was like, no, God, it's fine. Like, I'll go to sleep earlier, but I will also plan all this stuff. No, like rest, be with your family. You know what I mean?
What's crazy about that story, and as well as the story of Jonah and the whale or the great fish, is we oftentimes think of the chaos that's happening in our lives as something that's not self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
And we blame the world, we blame society, we blame God. And we're like, hey, yo, like, why don't I have, you know, money? Why am I not experiencing, you know, financial success? And God's simply like, because you ain't read the book yet. that I told you to write 3 years ago, or you want to start this podcast, or you want to start the business. And it's just like, what is God going to have to do to really get you to realize, like, there's so many blessings and promises waiting for you on the other side of obedience. And so kind of to that point, Lisa, if you can talk about like the fruits that you've experienced from your obedience, whether it's regarding writing the book or writing, you know, your pilots, like how have you experienced God's favor as a result of your obedience?
I will say 3-4 years ago, God called me to move to Los Angeles. And I think that is the biggest example of obedience, the fruit that I could give, because through being in Los Angeles, like I found some of my closest friends. Like, fun fact, me and Tierra went to college at the same time, the same college.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we didn't meet until we moved to Los Angeles. Crazy. Like, and this is like an important friendship for me. Mm-hmm. And like just so many things that like if I hadn't moved to LA, I would not experience. And I know that being in LA was a important part of becoming who I am. And then even on top of that, like God has recently called me to go to divinity school. And I was like, God, first of all, like who, like, you know, oh, what I mean?
Are you going to marry me and my husband?
I would love to. That's what I'm trying to do. Listen, once I get this degree, I'm going to officiate. Like, who's getting married? How can I help? Anyways, but for real, like, going to divinity school, I've just learned so much that has helped me. And then it makes me more effective small group leader. It makes me better at, when I was writing this book, I knew more things to share and how to share them in a good way. Yep. I've been writing 12-page papers. I can write this devotional. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so just little things like that. I've just seen myself become a better leader and then receive the fruit of being a better leader. That's so good. And people just being so happy. Like, and like, I don't know, just witnessing people grow
has
been great. So to see the fruit and also just like, I feel great. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel so happy and blessed that like, I am truly following God. I think that is the biggest thing that comes from it, is just a sense of like, man, if this thing don't work out the way I thought, it's going to work out the way God thought. So that'll be the best thing that happens, because you just know his plans are so much greater than yours. So that's the biggest fruit I see, is that his plans are better than anything I could imagine.
Listen, you talked about what I like to call purpose mates and purpose partners. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there are oftentimes you won't meet your purpose partner or your purpose mate until you walk in that obedience. So for instance, Ashley and myself. Mm-hmm. Ashley, for those who don't know, is my current roommate, and we met at the Woman Evolve conference. And I don't want to say that I had thoughts of not necessarily going, but I really do believe that God placed it on my heart to go. And I was like, okay, bet, like I'll go to the conference. So my mom and I went to the Woman Evolve conference. I want to say it was 2019. We went to the Woman Evolve conference in 2019. And what's crazy about God is he literally just orchestrates everything so that it happens, like, and it blows your mind, right? Mm-hmm. So we go to this hotel. It's one of those hotels that's not even on the Woman Evolve hotel suggestion list. And who do I meet there? I meet Ashley Eason. And this is a complete sidebar, but she would say that I was absolutely rude to her when we met, but I was not. We ended up meeting on an elevator, and I found out she was from Connecticut, and literally we just hit it off from there. Fast forward, this woman, we've been roommates for over a year. We joined WEAN, which is the Women Entertainment and Empowerment Network. We've done that together. We've done purpose work together. And so like, if I wouldn't have been obedient and invested in myself, invested some money into the Women Evolve conference, I would have never met Ashley. Who knows if I would like still be in LA, like, mm-hmm. so many things have happened. And I know that there are people who are like, God, I need a partner in my business. I need someone to help me write a book. And God's like, well, I need you to pay for this person's meal. And when you pay for this person's meal at Starbucks, they're going to start talking to you about one of their businesses and services that they do, which will then further help you in what it is that you need to do or what it is that God has called you to do. So purpose mates for sure has been like one of my fruits. And then I think too, you touched on it as well, where it's just like an overall sense of like peace and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. I know oftentimes people think that obeying God is going to cause like stress and strife, and it's going to be things that he doesn't, or it's going to be things that you don't necessarily want to do, but you really don't know what you don't know. And I'd rather obey someone who knows the end and the beginning. And the peace that I feel doing this podcast, talking to you about this, like, I feel so at peace. I feel so fulfilled. The fact that people are really getting something out of it really, like, makes me want to continue this. It stirs something inside, something more inside of me. And so I think that's one of the greatest fruits as well. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Lisa, what would you tell someone struggling with disobedience?
I would say,
or obedience rather.
I would say, well, I got a tattooed on my body, breathe. I got a breathe tattoo the other day because sometimes I'd be out here like, God, what do you want me to do? Like, and it's like, even, and it's like when you can't remember what, when you don't feel like you know what to do, just think about the last thing God told you to do. And that's definitely one of those, it's like everybody says that, but like it's really real.
Yeah.
And I think if you're struggling to be obedient, I think you should think about the cost. Because the cost of disobedience is so much greater than the cost of your comfort.
Woo!
And the cost of like your, really, your comfort. That's the only reason I think people don't be disobedient, is because they're like, that sounds uncomfortable. That sounds like too much. I don't know how to do that. When I tell y'all, God created the internet, man. Like, God created Google in his wisdom.
Hello?
And some of Google's wisdom. And I think the biggest thing to your first step of obedience is trusting God. Just fully trusting God and lean not on your own understanding, as the Bible says.
That's my favorite verse.
I know it's your favorite.
Yes, girl.
Yeah, that's for me. And one of my favorites is Philippians 4:6-8, where it just talks about, like, when you're anxious, just pray. Think about everything that's going good.
Yep.
I say, think about all the positive things that could happen out of your obedience.
So good.
And when you make that list, you and God make that list, just when you start feeling uncomfortable, be like, okay, but all this great stuff could come out of it. Like, for me with the book, it was like, what's the best thing that could happen out of this? Somebody gets saved. Somebody realizes how great they are. Somebody starts to love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all those great things that could come out of somebody reading this. And not to be that guy, if, since we're talking about business here, I made a little pocket change, you feel me?
Shmoney.
Right? Yeah. Like, so that's been nice in the middle of this cross-country move. Your girl needed it.
And so, this, in the middle of this panorama, you got some choices.
We have made, like, you know what I mean? So that's, and even like if I didn't make any money of it, because I honestly priced the book rather cheap. And I priced, like, any version of the book you get is cheaper than like people I know who have published books themselves.
Right.
You know, because I was like, it ain't really about the money. I just want to give God the glory at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, what is like the best thing that can happen? And then even what is the worst thing that happens if I put out a book? Nobody buys it, but I still have a book out. So what y'all gonna say about it? Like, you know what
then,
I mean?
And then two, one, all that you've learned as a result of writing the book. Girl, you can say that I wrote a book. You can say I was consistent enough to continue doing what it is that God has told me to do and write the book. And maybe even if no one bought it, that's what God was trying to birth inside of you. God was like, I need this girl to be consistent in this thing so that I can bring her or him to the next level, so he can really start walking in the thing that's going to bring him profit. It's going to bring him or her true fulfillment. One of the questions that you actually always ask is, what has God's track record been? Right? Like, when has God ever said, do something and you've done it, and it's been something that has not worked in your favor?
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, nothing has ever happened in life where God said, hey, yo, write this book or start this business or start working out, and the end result has been something that wasn't beneficial to you in any way. That's one. And then two, I often think about, would I rather sit in my comfort and be stagnant, or would I rather be uncomfortable and grow? Would I rather be uncomfortable and monetize? Would I rather be uncomfortable and really reach more people and really walk into a newer version of myself and uncover a newer version of myself that I wasn't even know or I didn't even know was there? And so things like that, I think, are key. Lisa, fix your thoughts on what is true. What does that mean to you?
To me, it means with all, not even with all due respect, because no respect is deserved. Forget the devil. I thought of more colorful language, but y'all feel where I'm going. Like, the devil is such a liar. So, like, any thoughts of inadequacy that you have with, like, being obedient, I'll tell you something I'm being disobedient about right now. I'm supposed to lose some weight this year. Let me tell you something about February and March. They were rough. January was great. January was fantastic. I went on a smoothie cleanse, lost 19 pounds.
You were skinny.
I lost the weight. I did that.
Honey.
February came. There was a book that needed to be published. I was moving across the country, so I made up a lot of excuses. Mm. Now I've been in physical pain, so I can't work out. Mm. Probably could eat better, but didn't. You know what I mean? And so now I'm looking to become obedient with that again.
Yeah.
Because I just know it's an area of my life where, like, maybe if I did eat better, my body would feel better. Mm. And maybe if this or that, like, you know what I mean? So yeah. But for me, it's like, fix your mind on what is true. I can do it. Because that's my other thing. It's like, hey, what's the purpose, yo? Like, but I know I can do it because check God's track record.
Right.
Check your track record as right. well. What mm-hmm. have you done in the past that worked out or did in the past that did not work out? Mm. You gained the weight because you ate something.
That's so good.
You lost the weight because you ate better. Mm-hmm. So you know you can do it. And the truth is that you can do it. The lie is that I'd rather sit here and, you know, have cookies. I mean, that's true, but the lie is that it's going to be okay. You know what I mean? That it's going to feed my soul. Mm-hmm. So it don't matter what it does to my body. That's not true. It does matter.
You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that I had to kind of break through. One, you can do it. And two, when it comes to just like my overall struggle and journey with obedience, one of the main factors that played into my disobedience has been the opinions of others. And I think we focus so much on, oh my gosh, what are they going to think? Or what are they going to say? And to your point, like fixing your thoughts on what's true. So what if they say, you know, Tier, you look crazy, or Lisa, this book is trash. So what? The truth is, God told me to do it. And I know, and I trust God's track record, which says that all things are going to work together for my good. Yeah. And the truth is, and let me actually pull this up, because girl, I was doing some research and there's like a whole bunch of blessings for walking in obedience. I'm gonna read this whole thing, and it's Deuteronomy 28, which I want to say it's 1-14, and I'll just start from verse 1, which says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I'm giving you today, the Lord will God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. Your offspring and your herds and your flocks will be blessed, i.e. your employees and your land. Mm-hmm. Your fruit baskets, your breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they like it literally just goes on and on about like the different fruits and blessings of obedience. And so kind of you kind of alluded this to this earlier, but can you talk about like the actual tangible blessings of your obedience?
Yeah, with the book money, that's been nice to have some of
the coins,
right? And then just like I will say, for me recently, one act of obedience was moving across the country, and that's when I was worried about like, if I don't live in LA, are people going to think I failed? I know I didn't fail, but like, what is it going to look like? Who cares? You know what I mean? And moving here, though I have had some physical pain, it has showed me the importance of being around family for me right now. Mm-hmm. Because my sister, I'm living with my sister. She full on took care of me. My parents were taking care of me. Like, it's just so much fruit has come out of it with just like, and also just a sense of peace.
Yeah.
Like knowing who's really there for you. You know what I mean? Even when you may not feel it all the time. That's been something. I definitely feel like the whole like the enemies coming against me thing.
Mm. Well, of course, if you know the enemy, anytime you're walking in obedience, anytime you're about to go to another level, the enemy is gonna attack, because he's like, nah, I can't let this happen. I can't let Lisa really unlock her fullest potential. You know, that's gonna happen, sis.
But the thing is, like, God will do this thing where, like, I don't think I have any opposition. That's how good he is.
Oh, God, don't you just love it?
I have, because I don't know the opposition. I know it's there. Sometimes I'm very aware. I'm like, oh, this is a joke. But even, like, in real life, like, you know, people have, like, people talk mess about them.
Yep.
I have this delusion in my head that nobody would ever talk about me ever. Because, like, God blocks all that out and makes all of it irrelevant. I'm sure somebody got something to say, but I don't care. Like,
but that's the thing, and it's crazy how God can literally shift your mindset and literally, to your verse, fix your thoughts on what is true. We know we serve a God who, despite what our enemies do or say, he's going to make sure that we're good. What did the scripture I just read say? It said that God will attack the enemies who attack you. So, girl,
before you even know it or see it, which is the biggest blessing, because I'm not trying to know.
Hello, girl. And I guess this is kind of like my last question before we go into, you know, a little bit more about your book. What would you say has been one of the greatest lessons you learned as a result of obedience?
That obedience doesn't mean things are gonna go easy, but the fruit will always be worth the trouble. And I think endurance is important with obedience.
I mean, you know, you gotta explain.
Okay, so endurance. Let me tell y'all, God gave me two, I talk about February a lot, but God gave me two major commands: move across the country and put out a book at the same time. What a feat to do at the same time. You packing up your entire life and trying to make sure the book is formatted right, make sure the page numbers are right, make sure all this stuff that you never considered until this very moment are right.
It's so good.
And that was a lot for me. And I was like, God, is this what you told me to do? Why is it so daggone difficult? But then I just realized, like, for all the things God has called me to, this is small. Like, these two things are kind of small.
Slightly.
Like, literally. So he's building up my endurance for when he calls me to something bigger and calls me higher, that, oh, I've done that already. Or, oh, if somebody near me is going through that, don't worry about it, sis. I can tell you exactly how to do it. Like, all that stuff. So I think endurance is just the most important thing that comes out of obedience, is just endurance.
I love that. And I think too, for me, my journey with walking in obedience has actually made me so close to God. And he's revealed so many things. Like, he's like, okay, like, you walked in obedience, I could trust you with, you know, this revelation. So let me just let you know, like, what your future is about to look like. Let me just blow your mind real quick and say, this is what's about to happen. This is how much money you're about to make. And so walking with God, not only have I feel, or being obedient, not only have been able to draw closer to God, but he's really been revealing so much more pertaining to purpose and my future. And I know a lot of people have those questions, like, God, like, I want to know what my purpose is. And like you said, you need to start with the thing that God has told you to do a year ago or 3 years ago. What was that first thing that he told you to do? So, Lisa, you have been amazing. Obedience is critical. And before we get into the book, what would you say is one thing you would want to leave the people in them with?
Your obedience is worth what it will cost you. That'll be my quick one-liner.
Well, yeah, if I could take apart this mic, I'd drop it. That was a mic drop. All right, Lisa, you said, say that one more game.
Okay, I got to remember it. Your obedience is worth what it will cost you.
Your obedience is worth what it will cost you. I think we got a title for the episode.
Yay, I love it.
I was going to call it The Blessings of Obedience, but you said your obedience is worth what it will cost you. I love that. Lisa, thank you so much for being here. You are amazing. Of course, we cannot let you go. I can't let you go without talking about this book.
Okay, so the book is called Living Single, 30 Devotionals for Women Who Love God and Want a Husband.
I love God and I want a husband. And for those who don't know, I'm about to blow up Lisa's spot. God told Lisa who her husband is, and I have an attitude because I'm still just trying to figure out who my man is and where he's at. But Yeah, he told her that who her husband is, and now she's writing a whole book. So go ahead, proceed.
Well, basically, God called me, but I am still single like a Pringle, ain't I? So
your obedience is worth what it will cost you.
Listen, hey. So, but through being single and knowing who my husband is, God has given me these revelations about, like, okay, here's what I need you to do to prep for your husband, or here's what I need you to do in learning to love yourself before I can give you this man who I have for you. Mm-hmm. So that's basically where the book was born out of, was knowing who my husband is and all the lessons that I've learned along the way. Like I said, still single like a Pringle. My prayer is that, actually, I'm actually really enjoying my singleness right now.
I love that.
So, I mean, which is the point of the book, to enjoy their single season.
Yeah.
But I will go, and there are moments where I'm like, man, it'd be nice to have a man right now. And there are moments where I'm like, thank God I'm not in a relationship right now.
Same. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, honestly, I'm content until God sees it fit to bring old boy into my life in the capacity that he's supposed to be it in.
Right.
I'm chilling, and I feel excited about this book because I really want this to form the beginning of a community. Ooh. You know what I mean? Because there's so, like, single women, like, get... I'm trying to be politically correct.
No, just say it.
Get, like, put down for wanting a husband. Mm, that's so, you know, good. What I mean?
Yep.
Like, because you want a husband, you're not happy single. Those things are not, like, those are not mutually...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like, I want a husband, and I'm enjoying being single. I'm building up to a relationship for a godly relationship, and I enjoy being single. Like, it's, like, things like that I really wanted to make clear in this book. Like, yes, it's enjoy your singleness, but are you nurturing the relationships you have now? You know what I mean? Like, your friendships, your family, like, are you nurturing those relationships? Because when you bring in a man, that's a whole nother fixture, you know what I mean? So stuff like that. Just self-love is one of the biggest things stressed in the book, because that is what I really came to with my journey and knowing who my husband was and being single. So yeah, that's some of the stuff about the book. If you want it, you can go to lisakksatchel.com/book.
Say that one more game for the people in the back.
Lisa, lisakksatchel.com/book, and you can find it.
Listen, because I love Lisa and because I love my listeners so much, I'm purchasing and giving away two books. Yay! Sis, so all you have to do is screenshot you listening to this episode, tag either at the account partner or Lisa K. Satchel, and let us know that you are listening, and we will do a giveaway at the end of this week. Thank you again so much, Lisa, for this. You know, I love having you, and for the listeners, you already know your action items for the week. Number one, get the book. And number two, focus on the thing that you have been putting off that God has told you to do. Think about that one thing or the last thing that God told you to do, and really start walking into that. Spend some time in the scriptures that we referenced. We referenced Deuteronomy 28. Honestly, read the whole thing, because it talks about the blessings of obedience, and it also talks about the curses of disobedience, which will really get you together real quick. Mm-hmm. Spend some time in Jonah. 1 through, honestly, the whole thing is pretty short, right? 1 through 4, and then Philippians 4:6-8. I love y'all. Lisa loves y'all. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. Peace.
Bye. Bye.